Well, dear students, it's time to discuss bond yields and bond valuations. What is our bond paying us? That's the yield. What is it worth? Well, we're going to take a look at a valuation model that should look very familiar. The discounted cash flow model, but this time for bonds. So let's get started on slide number 2. Bond yield is one of the most important factors in bond valuation. What income is the bond paying? Over the long sweep of time, income is what you receive from investing in bonds. Although there are sometimes opportunities for capital gains and sometimes the risk of capital losses, but when the bond is redeemed, you're only going to get back the par value. Remembering that in this class, it's always 1,000, even though there are a few bonds that are 5,000 and 10,000 bonds. Given that almost all bonds repay their principal without incident, the valuations calculated using bond yields tend to be very predictable. The unpredictable factor in bond valuation is the future direction of interest rates. However, for the many people who hold onto their bonds until maturity, until they get their principal back, the direction of interest rates is unimportant to them. They are mostly interested in the income and are not generally affected by the direction of interest rates, since they have no intention of ever selling their bonds before they mature. You are only concerned about changing interest rates if you intend or are forced to sell your bonds before they mature. Make sense? Yeah, people buy bonds for interest. They get their interest payments, and then when the bond matures, they get their principal back. There are several types of bond yields. The nominal yield, the coupon yield, which we discussed in our previous chapter, that's the stated rate of the bond. That's what you're going to get in absolute dollar terms. But there are several other yields that we must consider. The current yield, the yield to maturity, the yield to call. And then with municipal bonds, we need to be able to calculate the taxable equivalent yield. And some bonds are double tax exempt, double tax free. So those we need to be able to calculate also if we buy bonds in our home state. So let's take a look at these yields. In detail, each one. The nominal yield, the coupon yield, remember the reason we call them coupons is because they used to be coupons, the coupon attached to the bonds. That doesn't happen anymore. That's the named interest rate of the bond. The bond's annual interest income divided by its par value. What is the bond paying in absolute terms? 8% bond would pay $80, a 7% bond would pay $70, a 3% bond would pay $30, not 30 cents. So when you do the problems, don't put down 0.03 or 0.08. No, it's $80 on a 10% on an 8% bond. $100 on a 10% bond, only $10 on a 1% bond, which is what some bonds are paying these days. So that's straightforward. If we ask you what the nominal yield on a 7% bond is, you say, oh, 7%. What's the annual interest? $70. But the nominal yield is not as important as the current yield, the yield to maturity, the yield to call, because those are what you're actually getting based on the price of the bond. The current yield is the amount of income a bond provides relative to its market price. So sure, we're getting $70 from this 7% bond, $80 from an 8% bond, but what did we have to pay for that bond? Did we pay par value $1,000? Well then fine, the current yield will be the same as the coupon yield. But if we paid a premium for the bond or a discount for the bond, then the current yield is going to be different, as will the yield to maturity, which is the fully compounded rate of return earned by an investor over the life of the bond, which includes the current rate, the current income, and also the appreciation if it's a discount bond, or the depreciation if it's a premium bond, as we'll see. We'll do the calculations in just a bit. And then if there's a chance that the bond could be called, it might be called away from us. We want to calculate what the yield to call will be. So let's go ahead and start slogging through these calculations. They're really not that hard, folks. Slide number 7. The current yield is equal to the annual interest divided by the current market price of the bond. So we talked about an 8% bond. But we don't know how much it costs until we go out into the marketplace and find what the market is offering us. In this case, we see an 8% bond that's paying $800. It's selling at a discount. So you take the $80, the annual interest, divided by the market price, $80 divided by 800, and you get 0.10, or 10%. The coupon yield, the nominal rate, the coupon rate, they all mean the same thing, is 8%. But because the bond is selling at a discount, its current yield is actually 10%. We only have to pay $800 to get the $80 from the bond. So its current yield is 10%. Now, what happens if it's a premium bond? What happens if we have to pay $1,200 to get that 8% bond? Well, then $80, the annual interest, not 8 cents, don't put 0.08, $80 divided by the market price of $1,200 gives us 0.66666, or 6.67%. And please don't round it up to 7%. It's not wrong, but it's just not what we like to see when we look at bond yields. We like to see at least 3 digits of accuracy, 2 digits to the right of the decimal point. And sometimes you'll see 3 digits to the right of the decimal point. So please use at least 2 digits to the right of the decimal point. The chemists and scientists would call it 3 digits of accuracy, or 3 significant digits. The nominal yield, again, is 8%. That doesn't change. That's fixed. But because the bond is selling at a premium, the current yield is only 6.67. So now in the face-to-face class, we would stop and start working on worksheet number 1 and worksheet number 2. And so you're going to do that after the presentation, or if you want to pause the presentation and do the current yield problem now, that's up to you. But there are answer keys, commentaries. You've got to go through these, okay, folks? You can do them. You can. They're not that hard. And if you do have problems, you know who to contact, right? That's why they pay us the big bucks. Anyway, slide number 9. The current yield tells us what the bond is paying right now. But the yield to maturity is more important. Why? Especially if we plan to hold on to the bonds until they mature. The yield to maturity takes into account the price appreciation of the bond if the bond is purchased at a discount, or the price depreciation of the bond if the bond is purchased at a premium. Okay, what's going on? We might have bought it at a discount or bought it at a premium, but when the bond matures, what do we get back? $1,000. We don't get back the market price that we paid for it. No, the bond issuer, the corporation, the municipality, the treasury, they are only on the hook to pay us $1,000 when the bond matures. So there are two methods, primary methods of calculations. The one that we'll discuss later that's more accurate but difficult to do, and so are going to look at a spreadsheet that'll help us do that. But that's, you know, we don't want to do that manually. And also there is a yield to maturity formula, which is an approximation, and it looks kind of scary, but it's actually fairly easy to use once we do it a few times. And that's what, at least when I took the Series 7, that's what. And they gave it, they don't ask you to memorize it. They show it to you on the exam, but it's fairly straightforward, and we're going to do a few of them. So here it is. I know, scary. Look at all those numbers. Relax, relax. It's actually just the current rate, the current yield formula with some extra stuff thrown in. There's the annual interest, as was in the current yield. And instead of dividing by just the market value, we're going to divide by the average of the par value, what we get back when the bond matures, and the market value, what we had to pay to buy the bond. So how do you average two numbers? You add them together and divide by two. So that's not that hard, the average of two numbers, right? Now, what's this bad boy up here in the right-hand corner? This term, par value minus market value divided by a number of years, is there to account for the fact that we're not going to get what we paid for it when it matures, assuming we paid a discount or a premium. So I know, why is it plus in the bottom and minus in the top? They're two different terms. This is the average of the two. Whereas this is saying, look, you're going to get $1,000 when the bond matures, but you had to pay the market value. And so every year we're going to take the par value minus the market value and then divide it by the number of years until it matures. So this is taking into account the price appreciation if we bought it at a discount, because it's going to go from the discount price up to 1,000, or the price depreciation, which means we bought it at a premium, but we're only going to get $1,000 when the bond matures. So let's take a look at this example. It's an 8% bond maturing in 10 years, but we only paid $800 for it. We bought the bond at a discount. So the annual interest is $80, not 8 cents, $80. And I like to do the bottom first because, first of all, it's easier, and I just like to do the bottom first. Because it's simple. It's an average. So what's the average of 1,000 and 800? You take 1,000 plus 800, and you divide by 2, and you get 900. And then some of you can just eyeball it, right? What's the midpoint between 1,000 and 800? So that's 900. Now, what's going on? Let's do the bad boy up here. We're going to get $1,000 when we redeem the bond. When the bond is redeemed, they're going to pay us $1,000. But we only have to pay $800 for that bond. So we take 1,000 minus 800, which is $200. So we're going to get $200 more than what we paid for it when the bond matures. So what we do is we take that $200 and we divide it by the number of years until the bond matures. So 200 divided by 10 is 20. So what we're essentially saying to ourselves is, look, every year we're going to get an extra 20 bucks. Now, we don't get it in cash. The bond is going to rise. The price of the bond is going to rise approximately $20 a year until finally it matures. Now, it doesn't work like that. Because interest rates are changing all the time. So this is an approximation, but it's actually fairly reliably, you know, close to the actual yield to maturity. So that's what we use. So 1,000 minus 800, what we're going to get when it matures and what we had to pay for it, $200, divided by how many years until it actually matures, 10 years, gives us an extra $20 a year. So we add the $80 of actual interest that we will get, $40 twice a year, plus the $20 of, shall we say, phantom income. We didn't actually get the $20 in cash, but our bond is now worth $20 more every year. And we divide that by the average of what we're going to get when the bond matures and what we had to pay for it, the $900, and that gives us 0.11111 or 11.1%. Does that make sense? And what happens now if we have a premium bond? Slide number 11. Well, it's exactly the same formula, but now we had to pay $1,200 to get that 8% bond. So we plug in the numbers, 80 again, we always get $80 from an 8% bond. But now the average of 1,000 and 1,200 is 1,100. And so we remember that number on the bottom. And then here, 1,000 minus 1,200. Oh no, negative numbers. You can handle them. And if you are having trouble with negative numbers, you contact me or contact the Academic Success Center and talk with the math tutors, and they'll say, we don't do finance. You just show them the formula, and they'll go, oh, yeah, we can help you with this. So the 1,000 minus 1,200 is a negative 200. So that means the bond is going to depreciate by $200 over the lifespan of the bond. We bought it for 1,200, but we're only going to get 1,000 bucks when the bond matures. So negative 200 divided by 10 is a negative 20. You can do that. Negative 20, which means 20 bucks a year, we're going to knock off the price of the bond. And what we do is we add the $80 to a negative 20. That just means we subtract, right? And that means we're really only getting $60. Now, we're getting $80 in cash, but we're saying every year we're going to lower the price of our bond by $20. So we could think of that as a negative income, even though we didn't, no money came out of our checkbook or anything. We already paid for the bond. So you take 80 plus a negative 20, that's 60, divided by the 1,100, and you get 5.45%. Wait a minute. The current yield of our 8% discount bond selling at $800 was 10%, but the yield to maturity was 11.1%. And the current yield of our 8% premium bond selling for $1,200 was 6.67%, but the yield to maturity was 5.45%. What's going on? How is that possible? Well, as we've discussed, it's actually very straightforward. The discount bond was purchased at $800, but will be redeemed at $1,000. The premium bond was purchased at $1,200, but again, we will not get $1,200 when the bond matures. It will be redeemed at $1,000. The yield to maturity takes into account the bond appreciation from the discount price up to the par value, or the bond depreciation from the premium price down to the par value. And I know it's a little tricky, but just think about it, and it makes perfect sense if you were, you know, if you're, this is, we're putting out real money. Yeah, I understand. We paid $1,200 for this, but we're only going to get $1,000 back. What is our yield to maturity if we hold it until the bond is redeemed? So, of course, there are problems on the worksheets that you're going to do over and over again, and there are answer keys and there are commentaries, and you know what to do. Okay, now, the yield to call takes into account the possibility of the bond being called away from this. Now, this is only going to be used on premium price bonds because a bond issuer would not call in discount bonds. That would mean they'd be refinancing at a higher rate. That doesn't make any sense. You would only want to refinance if interest rates have dropped, and if interest rates have dropped, the bond prices go up. Again, there are two different methods of calculation. The bond pricing formula we're going to take a look at later on. And then the same formula as yield to maturity. But the only difference is now we replace the par value with the call price and the years to maturity with the years to call. Because we're not going to get the par value, we're going to get the call price. Assuming there's a call premium. If there's no call premium, callable at par, then it would be the par value because it would be the same. And then not we don't use the years to maturity, we use the years to call. So again, it looks scary, but it's actually fairly straightforward. Notice the call value has replaced the par value because often bonds will have a premium, a call premium, that the bond issuer has to pay to call away the bond. And then instead of the number of years to maturity, we use the number of years to call. Why? Because we're not going to hold it till the maturity. They're going to call it away from us. So let's assume that that 8% bond that we paid $1,200 for is callable in 5 years the number of years until they can call it away from us. And the call price is $1,085. There's an $85 call premium. They have to pay us $1,085. They just can't pay us $1,000. They have to pay us that prepayment penalty for the bond. So what's the annual interest on an 8% bond? $80. And then here we take the average of the call value and the market price. Of course, so you take two, to take the average, you add the two numbers and divide by two. And up here we say, look, we're going to get $1,085. That's the call price. We paid $1,200, and there's only 5 years left until the bond can be called away from us. So doing all those calculations, again, it's a negative number, you can handle it, tells us that this bond, if they call it away from us, they don't have to call it away from us, but if they do, we're only going to get 4.99%, which was less than the if they just allowed us to keep the bond until it matured, we're going to get 5.45%, which makes sense. The yield to call was less than the yield to maturity. Yes, this is typical. This is because if the bonds are called away from before maturity, we would have less time to take advantage of the outsized interest income payments of the premium bond. Now, we don't know. Every situation is different. But we can pretty much assume that if they call it away from us, we're going to get less than if they allowed us to hold it until maturity. If the bond is selling at the par value, if the bond is selling at 1,000, whoops, got this, mouse is so sensitive. If the bond is selling at par value, then the nominal coupon yield, nominal rate, the current yield, the yield to maturity, the yield to call are all the same. And if you don't trust me, go ahead and put in the bond selling at par value. They'll wind up exactly the same because there's no premium, nor is there any discount. Cool? Okay, good. So go do these calculations, current yield, yield to maturity, yield to call. Because now we're going to take a look at taxable equivalent yields. The taxable equivalent yields for muni bonds, sometimes called tax-exempt yield, tax-free yield. The IRS doesn't like that phrase, tax-free. Since muni bonds are free from federal taxes, in order to effectively compare municipal bonds to other bonds, we must compute the taxable equivalent yield. There's two of them we have to worry about. The federal taxable equivalent yield for muni bonds that are free of federal income tax. And then for municipal bonds that are free of both federal income tax and the investor's state income tax, we need to compute the double tax-free, double tax-exempt taxable equivalent yield. So here we are in California. If we buy a bond anywhere in the state, the state of California says, cool, you don't have to pay income tax on that bond's interest. So that's why they're called double tax-free. So the taxable equivalent yield formula for most all muni bonds not in our state is very straightforward, and it should look familiar if you've taken Business 121 when we discuss financial planning and money management, we discuss taxes. We take the municipal bond yield, whatever the bond is paying us, and we divide it by 1 by 1 minus your marginal tax rate. Now, the marginal tax rate is a little tricky, but it means what we are paying on our next dollar of income. And let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket. If you bought a municipal bond that's paying 6% and you're in the 25% tax bracket, you take the 6%, 0.06, and make sure you understand why that's 0.06, divided by 1.0 minus 0.25, right? 25% is 0.25. So that's 0.06 divided by 0.75, and the taxable equivalent yield is 8%. Now, what does that mean? That means we have to go out and find a corporate bond paying 8% to be equivalent to our municipal bond paying 6%. But wait a minute, the 8% bond is paying us $80, the 6% bond is only paying us $60. Why are they equivalent? Well, guess what? On that $80, we have to pay taxes. On the $60, we don't have to pay any taxes. So if we pay 25% taxes on that 8% bond, do the calculation and you'll see that $20 is going to the feds. So we're really only getting $60 after taxes. And that's why muni bonds are very popular with people who are in high tax brackets, because they're paying a lot in taxes. So that's any bond outside of your state. In this case, we're talking about California, but whatever state you're in, that would be any bond outside your state. Now, what happens if you buy a bond inside your state? That's the taxable equivalent yield for both federal and state, double tax exempt, double tax free. The formula on the previous slide only takes into account federal income taxes. If the municipal bond is free of both federal and state income taxes, then the taxable equivalent yield would be higher. Now, the formula on the next slide assumes you itemize deductions on your federal income taxes and deduct state income taxes, which is very typical for municipal bond investors because they typically have a lot of deductions. But if you don't itemize deductions, then the taxable equivalent yield formula is a little simpler and the result is a little higher. So let's take a look at the scary one. Oh, look at all those. Then relax. Just start from the middle, from the most inner parentheses, and work your way out. So let's say that 6% bond is the one we're still using. We're in the 25% Fed rate and 8% state rate. Now, there really is no 8% California rate, but let's say there is, okay? I think there still is. I think they changed it, yeah. But whatever. Let's say we're in the 8% state bracket. So now we have to go into the middle here. 1 minus the federal rate, 1 minus the 25% gives us 0.75, right? And then we multiply the state rate, 0.08, times 0.75, and whatever that is. And then we add that to the federal. Add that point to 0.25 to whatever the result of 0.08 times 0.75 is. And then, don't forget to subtract the 1 out here, 1 minus that. And after you've done all those calculations and taken 0.06 divided by that, you get 8.7. So this California municipal bond that's paying us 6%, $60 a year, is actually worth a corporate bond paying 8.7%. Cool, right? Now, the alternative formula does not have this last guy in there, and you'll see that it's on the formula sheet. But that's not realistic, because most people who buy muni bonds do itemize their taxes. And yes, the tax code is broken, but try to figure out how we're going to fix it. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So just learn how to do this. And it's really not that hard. Just start from the middle, start from the most innermost parentheses, and then work your way out. So those are the bond yields: the nominal yield, coupon rate, coupon yield, current yield, yield to maturity, yield to call, and then the two taxable equivalent yields, federal tax-free only, tax-exempt only, and federal and state. Go to the worksheets. I know, it's bonds. They're not that exciting. Do the problems over and over again. Check out the answer keys. Listen to the commentaries. And be awesome. When we come back, oh boy. This is the most exciting part of bonds when we get them come back. We're going to discuss the yield curve, which is an interesting precursor, interesting indicator of what's going on in the economy. And then the bond valuation tool, the bond valuation model, which should look very familiar. And we'll finish up on bonds. Cool? Thank you so much for being in our class, dear students. We are so proud of you and grateful and privileged that you're with us. Be awesome.